Charlie Carnes.
He's the Pope. Can't believe that.
Sort of sums up the frenzy where Pope Benedict's visit to the United States, crowned by a huge mass at Yankee Stadium, now ended. CBS's Steve Kathan was there.
Pope Benedict was greeted by tens of thousands of people standing and cheering, many waving white and gold handkerchiefs. His message to the faithful was of hope and renewal. He did not talk about the priest sex abuse scandal, but did call for the defense of human life, especially the unborn. That drew long applause.
Kids don't always focus on the weighty issues of the church. Here's one who checked out the Popemobile.
That was awesome.
Gas prices are putting a hurting on us, and it isn't even Memorial Day yet.
At the low end was Newark, New Jersey. Regular grade averages $3.21. And San Francisco at the high end, $3.88 for regular.
Trilby Lundberg with her biweekly report. Prices up 16 cents in just the last 2 weeks.
Light traffic here along the Pennsylvania Turnpike. You really notice it. Pull into this service area. Drivers not only complain about gas prices.
We're being gypped. I believe that it's a conspiracy.
But everyone I spoke to complained the candidates aren't really addressing this pocketbook issue.
They're talking about things, and I think, you know, this is why it's really affecting Americans most. They need to do something. And soon.
Barry Bagnetto, CBS News, along the Pennsylvania Turnpike.
Remembering some of the great war correspondents at the mailbox.
Of the five American journalists on these stamps, two worked for CBS News. George Polk was covering the Greek Civil War in the late 1940s when he lost his life. Eric Severide was first one of Murrow's boys, reporting on World War II, and later a commentator on the CBS Evening News. Retired CBS News correspondent Richard C. Hodowit worked with both of them.
They're two very, very notable and honorable people.
The other journalists are war correspondents Martha Gellhorn and John Hersey, and Hispanic television reporter Ruben Salazar. Lloyd DeVries, CBS News.
On the Democrats who want to run for president, Hillary Clinton's campaign said this week she's in the race to the convention.
I'm Tom Foti. However the Pennsylvania primary turns out, Obama supporter Senator Bob Casey sees it as a long-term plus.
We have to win Pennsylvania in the fall, and I think this contest has helped us do that.
But that's then. What of now? Clinton supporter Governor Ed Rendell says yes, the race has apparently tightened.
You can't go anywhere in the Philadelphia region. You can't listen to TV for 10 minutes without seeing an ad. Given that level of spending, it's even overcoming what was a subpar performance in the debate by Senator Obama and a great performance by Senator Clinton.
Governor Rendell and Senator Casey were on CBS's Face the Nation. Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
Republican John McCain says cutting taxes and stimulating the economy are more important just now than balancing the budget, though he has been noted for his feelings on balanced budgets and overspending for many years. On ABC's This Week, McCain says the tax hikes both Clinton and Obama want would only make a recession worse. This is CBS News.
Experience the joy of designing your own ring at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
That's Jared.
Even though Jared has an incredible selection of spectacular diamond engagement rings, many Jared customers prefer to design their own. It's easy to understand why. You can select from hundreds of settings in gold or platinum at Jared, and then choose from thousands of diamonds in a wide variety of shapes and sizes to create a ring that's yours and yours alone.
It can only be Jared.
As a small business owner, I do have a staff. Me, myself, and I. And we do it all. Fortunately, there's Sam's Club. For 25 years, Sam's Club has been providing businesses like ours the items crucial to our success and saving us money, which we can then put right back into our business. And from April 21st to the 25th, we can go to Sam's Club and take the invoice challenge for a chance to win a $100,000 small business makeover. No purchase necessary. Visit sbtv.com for details. Bring the staff.
Alaska, our 49th state, our last frontier. Join the Kingsburg Chamber of Commerce on a cruise to Alaska this September on the Celebrity Infinity. We'll fly September 5th from Fresno to Seattle and board our ship that afternoon for a 7-day cruise to Alaska. 7 days of relaxation, terrific food, great service, and bears, whales, and glaciers, too. Call the perfect vacation at 559-292-1165 to book your Alaskan cruise. 7 days on a luxury cruise ship with ports like Kashikan, that's where you buy your salmon, and Sitka, originally built by Russian settlers. Again, call 559-292-1165 to reserve your room today. That's 559-292-1165 to book your Alaska cruise with the Kingsburg Chamber.
This
is News Talk 580 KMJ Fresno, Central California's news, weather, and traffic station. News Talk 580 KMJ presents Hometown Heroes, honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, coming to you each and every Sunday afternoon here on News Talk 580 KMJ and worldwide at KMJ580.com on the internet 24 hours a day. This week we'll do a couple things. I'm going to tell you about the Heroes of the Valley fundraiser that's coming up at the end of May. Tell you how you can support the Veterans Memorial Museum in downtown Fresno by participating in that fundraiser. And we'll visit with a World War II veteran who volunteers at the museum, talk about his experiences in the war, and also what he does down at the museum. But first, a chance to catch up with a gentleman who was on this program several weeks ago. Since then, he's made headlines all over the western United States, and in fact, the whole country, for that matter. That is Bob Baird, a World War II frogman from Sanger High School and the University of Nevada. And I bring up the University of Nevada because, Bob, we can all congratulate you. You finally have your degree.
I do. That I do.
Now, for those who didn't read the newspaper or see anything on television about that, the University of Nevada, through the help of one of your friends who read a book that you wrote about how you never received your diploma, the University of Nevada found out about that through channels, and a couple weeks ago, one of their representatives came all the way down to Sanger to your weekly Rotary Club luncheon and presented you, 65 years later, with the diploma you never got when you left Reno to go off to the war. What did that mean to you when that piece of paper was in your hand, the guy was all decked out in his robe and his cap and the official academic regalia, and he handed that piece of paper over to you that meant you are a college graduate?
Well, it was kind of like the period at the end of a sentence. This is finally resolved. It's been, like you say, 63 years, and I never thought it would happen until this fellow here in who's a good friend of mine, contacted a TV station in Reno, and they put a reporter on it, and they dug back, and sure enough, there it was.
See, TV reporters aren't all that bad, are they?
No, there's some really good ones out there.
And there's a lot of good Rotarians in Sanger, and you were gracious enough to invite me to that ceremony. I very much enjoyed that. I appreciated your invitation, and the biggest blessing for me was to sit there and see all your fellow Rotarians ring that bell, donate $100 each to a scholarship fund that you're starting, and tell you what you meant to them. And I bet that meant something to you too.
Well, friends like that don't come down the pike too often, but we've got an awful good gathering of them in Sanger.
And I think you're getting new friends each and every day, including a gentleman who sent you a letter after he read about your story in the newspaper. I'm going to read that letter really quick so all our listeners know. And it was accompanied by a newspaper article from a Guam newspaper. But here quickly is the letter. It says, "Dear Mr. Baird, I recently read a news article about you earning your degree from the University of Nevada, and I wanted to congratulate you on that milestone. I noticed in the article that you were in UDT-6, Underwater Demolition Team 6 during the Marianas campaign. I am a retired SEAL, and a few years ago I was commanding officer of Naval Special Warfare Unit 1 on Guam. I have walked on Daddy Beach, where you operated in 1944. While stationed on Guam, my son and I took advantage of the opportunities to explore the beaches where UDTs 3, 4, and 6 fought. On the 60th anniversary of the liberation in 2004, some of my men and I went down to Agate Beach and commemorated that famous Welcome Marine sign emplaced by UDT-4. That, of course, was a sign to show the Marines that the frogmen got there first, before the leathernecks. Enclosed, please find a Pacific Daily News article commemorating the exploits of the UDTs and the liberation of Guam. Again, congratulations on getting that well-deserved degree. Your service in World War II ensured that many other generations of Americans would not only be able to earn degrees, but to live in freedom. May God bless you in the future, shipmate. Hoo-yah. Dave Pittleco, Captain David T. Pittleco, U.S. Navy, retired." What did it mean to you, Bob, when you got that letter and the article accompanying it that has this picture of guys 60 years later without their shirts on, just their shorts, kind of the uniform that you had 60-something years ago, in the same spot that you wore off the shore at Guam?
Well, you know, memories like that kind of fade, but looked at those guys out there, crazy bunch of guys that volunteered to do the work that we did, brought back a lot of memories. My goodness gracious. Remind me of the day that after we landed in Guam and they asked us to clear, it's about 3 days later, asked us to clear a beach, and we had 35 tons of tetrafol, which is an explosive, to lay along the beach, and one of the fellows said, well, we better shoot it in two shots, and the other guy said, no, let's let them really see what we can do. So they hooked the whole thing together and shot it at once. A very extremely interesting sight. Even knocked a Marine colonel back on his feet. He was standing so close to the beach.
A pretty big blast.
Yeah, pretty big blast.
Well, guess what, Bob?
Yeah.
Also on the line with us is Dave Piddleco, who sent you that letter. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Paul. Who are you, Bob? How are you doing?
Hi. Where in the world are you located?
Oh, I'm up in northeast Washington, just below the Canada border.
Oh, my goodness.
So all the way up in northeast Washington, you read a local newspaper article about Bob getting his degree?
Well, actually, there's a retired SEAL who has a kind of an email distribution he sends out daily, or his SEALs hit the news, and he just finds articles around the world that where SEALs are doing things or have in the past, and I was on this email loop, and I noticed this about the story about Bob, and my dad's a World War II vet from the Pacific, and I'm big fan of those Greatest Generation guys. So I noticed in the article it gave his hometown and where he lived. So I just penned off a letter, looked up on the internet his address, and sent him a letter along with a copy of that Pacific Daily News article from 2004, just to kind of give him a shot in the arm, give him encouragement, and let him know I appreciate what he did back there during the war.
The article he saw, but KMJ, or Channel 4, or NBC here carried it, and I think the Channel 3, which is a CBS in this area, carried it.
And then it was in the Fresno Bee, a nice picture of you with your Napoleon pose, and it was also in the Reno Gazette Journal, because the University of Nevada talked about it. So, and he found it all the way up in northeast Washington, thanks to the wonders of the Internet. And Dave, in this article that you sent to Bob from the newspaper out on Guam, it talks about what you guys did to commemorate that 60th anniversary. For our listeners, kind of recount what the Marines did back in 1944, or what the frogmen, the underwater demolition teams, did in 1944, and why you guys felt moved to reenact it six decades later.
Well, again, and I was just privileged to be the skipper of the unit out there at the time, and I knew that the 60th anniversary is coming up. And I have to tell you, on Guam, the 21st of July every year is like the 4th of July back here in the mainland. That's what they consider they call it Liberation Day, based on when U.S. forces liberated their island from the enemy in 1944 after years of occupation. And because I knew that anniversary was coming up, it was important to the islanders, and I knew there was a mark in frogman history, as it were. I just got some of the crew together and called my friend who was the editor of the Pacific Daily News and said, hey, Lee, we're going to go down to the beach and put this sign up in honor of our forefather frogmen. And so he obliged by sending out a cameraman and a reporter, and they photographed us holding that Welcome Marine sign on the beach, and wrote up a little story about it.
And in the picture, you're right underneath the sign, most of your body submerged, and a little snorkel in your mouth.
Oh, actually, that's my XO. He was holding a K-bar knife in his mouth. I'm off to the side. But
I missed the gist of that. That was his knife in his mouth, and that's not you.
Right.
But you're holding the sign, and the point of that sign at the time in 1944, and Bob was asking when D-Day was for that invasion, and it was July 21st, correct?
Correct. Well, and the Marines and the frogmen, even to this day, there's kind of a rivalry, even though they are currently engaged in combat together against the enemy overseas. There's always kind of a friendly rivalry about who got here first and who did the most. So the story I heard is that
when
the fellows
we
went
there
in a night before on a night reconnaissance to see what the beach held.
Yeah,
and
I
while
think
they were
Bob,
there,
Bob
they,
did the same kind of thing, right, Bob?
Well, I went in the night before.
July 20th, right.
And swam the beach.
Uh-huh.
And got in so close that I could see the Japanese lighting their cigarettes and hear them talking.
Wow.
There's enough surf noise that we could talk, and it's a very dark night, but after a while your eyes get accustomed, so we could see each other. And we were in there about 30 minutes, and then we said, well, we've done all we can do. Let's get the hell out of here. So we did, and the Japanese never knew we had been there.
And so that was Underwater Demolition Team 6. And yes. What Dave was reenacting was what UDT 4 did. And Dave, you can pick up the story from there.
Well, when as I was saying, when 4 went ashore, they had this all scripted out. And during the night reconnaissance, they took and made up this sign. It was 2 feet tall by 4 feet wide. It was gray with black paint, which I suppose they had plenty of gray paint floating around on a ship out there. And they just painted it up and it said, "Welcome, U.S. Marines, Agate, USO, 2 blocks, courtesy UDT-4. Of course, there was no USO on an enemy-held island, but that was their way of jabbing at the Marines and just showing them they got there first.
The rivalry between Marines and frogmen was real great.
And the frogmen got there first, and the Marines were very clear on that as soon as they started wading ashore. That is a great story.
But it was interesting. We were offshore about, probably a mile, and watched the landing craft go in, and our job was done at Guam. So that's...
Unfortunately for the Marines, their job was just about to begin.
That was a pretty bloody one, yes.
It was very, and you laid the groundwork for a lot of battles like that with the work you did as a frogman. Dave, before we let you go, I want to thank you very much for not just taking the time and the initiative to share this with Bob and to thank him for his service, but I want to thank you for your service to our country as well. And if there's anything else that you'd like to say to Bob, you guys have exchanged letters, but this is the first time you've spoken, right?
Oh, actually, he called me up or sent me an email back. I put my phone number on that letter, and we talked a little bit. But I'd just like to say again in front of the nation there that I appreciate what he and his guys did, how they laid the groundwork back there. And it's funny, I meet vets from World War II and tell them what I did, and they mention, they go, "Oh, you guys are just, you're really something with what you do today." And I got to admit, the guys fighting the day overseas are doing great, but I always tell them, I say, "Hey, you guys, you had next to nothing in the way of technology, but you saved the world for us." So my hat's always off to Bob and guys of his
generation. Uniform of the day was a pair of swim trunks, a face mask, a pair of cheap tennis shoes to keep from cutting our feet on the reef. And that
that's
was
all they had.
Well, and that was in this reenactment in the picture, too. That's what the SEALs wore 60 years later.
Right, we dressed up like them in their honor. It was our privilege.
Did you train at Coronado?
Yes, sir. That's where all the basic underwater demolition training's now.
Been there about 4 times. When we had a reunion in our old UDT-6, we've had a reunion in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And they invited us out one day and demonstrated for us, and then they invited us to stay for lunch with them. So they're a good bunch.
Oh, yeah.
You've run into a lot of guys who respect what you've done, Bob, and I know that I do. It's clear that Dave does. And we have to get to our commercial break here and move on to the rest of the program, but I want to thank both of you again for your service and for being with us today.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Thank you much.
That's Captain Dave Piddleco and Bob Baird, the frogman who you've already heard on this program, and now you hear him again talking about his degree and his newfound friend. We'll be right back with more Hometown Heroes, talking about the Heroes of the Valley fundraiser as Hometown Heroes continues on News Talk 580 KMJ.
580 KMJ. There's only one station big enough to give you big fun and big vacation. You ready?
Let her go.
News Talk 580 KMJ presents The Big Ice Adventure. You and your guest will be our guest aboard Regent Seven Seas Mariner as the course is set and the sea is charted to take you to the last frontier. Alaska. From your onboard luxury penthouse suite, the soul-searching beauty of an Alaskan cruise will manifest itself before your eyes. And a real... the deal, you'll also win some ice. We're talking a 1-carat tycoon cut diamond from Warner Company Jewelers. To win, just register at kmj580.com or in person at Warner Company Jewelers, Palm and Herndon. Then listen to Fresno's Morning News at 7 every morning. If we announce your name, call back to be a finalist. The Big Ice Adventure from Lewis Travel and Cruises and the Vacation Station. News Talk 580 KMJ.
60 days to rock hard abs.
Not quite.
fluent Italian in just 60 days.
Benzacozzi. It seems at every turn, someone is promising you something amazing in just 60 days. But as luck would have it, there really is such a thing. The 60-0 Lexus Certified Pre-Owned Event. During this 60-day event, qualified buyers can take advantage of special lease rates as well as 3.9% APR financing. So act before June 2nd, and you can find a certified pre-owned Lexus that's guaranteed to bring you more happiness than a 60-day abdominal workout. A Lexus, backed by a 3-year, 100,000-mile warranty. So make these 60 days truly count and buy a Lexus certified pre-owned vehicle before June 2nd. Ciao. Only at Fresno Lexus. To learn more, visit LexusCPO.com.
Warranty runs 3 years from your date of purchase or 100,000 total vehicle miles. See your participating Lexus dealer for details about roadside assistance and the certified pre-owned program.
Would you like to own a brand new computer and improve your credit at the same time? If you have a bank account and can afford weekly payments of just $29.99, you're already approved for a brand new Dell, HP, or other brand name computer. There's no credit check, so you won't be turned down. Computer Funding says you're approved, guaranteed, even if you have bad or no credit. All you need is a bank account and can afford weekly payments of just $29.99 for only 12 months. We even report on your credit, so you can help start to build or rebuild a positive rating today. Call 1-800-863-9974. Call right now and we'll include a free 20-inch LCD TV and over $300 of additional gifts and upgrades with your paid purchase. Don't wait. Call now for your computer or wireless laptop and help build or rebuild your credit today. Call 1-800-863-9974. 1-800-863-9974. That's 1-800-863-9974.
Tell us about your hometown hero. Email your story by clicking on the Hometown Heroes link at KMJ580.com. This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring everyday Americans who answer the call of duty on 580 KMJ.
You'll be hearing fine patriotic military music like that on May 25th in downtown Fresno at the Veterans Memorial Museum, home of the Legion of Valor. May 25th will be this year's date for the Heroes of the Valley fundraiser, the second annual fundraiser, the only fundraiser for the museum all year long. And if you have not been to the Veterans Memorial Museum in downtown Fresno, this is a good excuse for you to get down there and see what you're missing out on. Hometown Heroes continues now, and we'll talk about that fundraiser. As I said, it'll be May 25th at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's the idea of a couple of guys from Thrivent Financial for Lutherans here in the Valley. Glenn Dembroff and Mike Fitzgerald are with us. And gentlemen, first off, walk us through a little bit on how this came about last year. Last year was the first one ever. You raised quite a bit of money for the museum, and now you're looking to raise even more the second time around. Tell us how this got off the ground.
Well, it started out how we were doing some financial planning for someone who works at the museum. And in the course of doing the planning and asking questions about what he's doing in retirement, we found out that he was a docent at the museum. He was a librarian at the museum. And how all the volunteer work was allowing them to just keep the museum going, but it was purely on a volunteer basis. And we asked if they had ever done a fundraiser, because Thrivent Financial is both a financial business as well as a fraternal side of the business, and the fraternal side allows us to give money away to events and institutions such as the museum. And we were surprised to hear that they had never done a fundraiser before, and we said, well, we'd love to be involved, and that's how it was born.
Well, and I know it was a big success last year, and you're looking to grow it even more this year. And by the way, you talk about docents at the museum. They are all volunteers, and they're veterans who have served in our armed forces. And one of them will be joining us shortly here on this program. Forrest Cormlin will talk about his experiences in World War II and Korea, and also his experience at the museum downtown. We'll ask him what his favorite elements of it are and what he gets out of volunteering down there. But this is coming up May 25th, 3 o'clock. Let's talk a little bit about what people are going to get there. You heard a little bit of music. That's the Sounds of Freedom Band, who my listeners, I think, have heard a couple times on this program. They'll be performing at the event. We've got food is going to be available, tri-tip barbecue, but it's a lot more than food and music. Tell us about that, Mike Fitzgerald.
Well, much like last year, we have a
We'll have a color guard there. We're going to have actually bagpipers there. We have a show in the auditorium. But there's going to be a lot going on prior to that with various displays. There'll be some booths there. We have a magician for the kids. Be kind of a carnival atmosphere. They're also looking, I believe the Air Force, Army, and Navy will be having vehicles out front for the kids for photo opportunities. So we're just trying to make it a complete family outing, family experience, and then following up with the show in the auditorium.
And the name of the event is Heroes of the Valley. It's raising money for the museum, and the museum itself is going to be open all this time, too. People can go in and tour the museum and see all the fantastic exhibits that are there, the mementos from World War II, from before that, from after that. From every era of American military history, you can find things in that museum that will pique your interest and probably learn a thing or two. I know I learn something every time I go into the museum. But it's called Heroes of the Valley, and one of the reasons for that is because you'll be honoring some of those Heroes of the Valley at this event as well. You don't give away anything that you can't give away yet, but what kinds of honors are we talking about, and why is it important to recognize some of these veterans at an event like this?
Well, these veterans are often neglected, you know, and if you really think about what they've done for our country and what they've done in their years of service to the country, it's phenomenal. And we just take it for granted as Americans. And right here in the Valley, Mike was telling me about one-third of the population is made up of people of military background. And, you know, there are little events here and there on Memorial Day weekend, but we never really saw of any that was really making an effort to raise up and recognize the veterans specifically from the Central Valley. So this was the opportunity. I look at this event as being three-pronged. One is to honor and recognize these veterans of the Valley. Two is to raise the awareness of this museum, which is a treasure. And I bet most of these listeners don't even know and never even been to the museum. And then lastly, to raise the much-needed funds for the maintenance of the museum, which is all run on 100% volunteer labor and donated services and goods.
Well, and another part of that, too, is raising up the next generation of volunteers, because Forrest, who's going to talk to us in a little bit, is 83 years old. The director of the museum, Art Hill, is in his 90s now, doesn't act like it, but he is. So hopefully through fundraisers like this, too, we can get a younger generation to step up and say, yes, this history is worth preserving, and we need to have people who are making this effort day in, day out in our community. And Mike, I know your wife is one of the volunteers at the museum downtown, and I think you had another point to add to what Glenn said there.
Yeah, my wife actually is, when she got to meet the gentleman down there and see what that was all about, touched her heart, and she's been working down there since the event last year. Well, for myself especially, seeing these gentlemen and realizing, you know, that they put their lives on the line 60 years ago, and they're down there still 60 years later putting their time and effort in to preserve these stories and our history and their legacy, it just really kind of touches the heart. I have a hard time sticking to a diet for 2 weeks. These guys have been serving our country, you know, for the last 60-some years. It really... to go down there and be amongst these guys, there's this living history, and really the hopefully what we can pass on to our generation is that sort of sacrifice and dedication.
Well, and you guys are making the first step here and putting the fundraiser on for the second year in a row and putting up the money to get the ball rolling on that, and you're matching some of the donations as well. And I want to tell people right now, if you're listening at home, maybe even you're listening on the internet at KMJ580.com, remember, you can do that when you're not in your car, you're not around a radio that's working all that great. Go to your computer, KMJ580.com. If you're there right now, punch up heroesofthevalley.com, and you can learn all about this fundraiser. You can order tickets online. The phone number is there, and we'll give you that phone number right now, too. That's 323-9226. I get that right? In the 559 area code. We'll mention that again a little bit later. But heroesofthevalley.com, you can buy tickets on there. $15 for adults, $10 for kids 12 and under. It's a little bit extra for the tri-tip if you want tri-tip. There'll be some other food there that is not quite as expensive as the tri-tip, so whatever your taste is food-wise, you'll have your options there. And in addition to buying tickets online, you can also make a donation. Maybe you won't be able to go on May 25th. Maybe you know someone who would like to go and you want to buy a ticket for them, or you just want to donate to the museum. You have those options all online at heroesofthevalley.com. And if you're wondering why are they talking about this on April 20th when the event's on May 25th, well, it's pretty simple. We'd like to sell out, right?
Absolutely.
We're even hoping to sell out about 130% of the tickets and force us to have a second theater presentation. So
that would be a very good problem.
Yes, we've set our goals pretty high, and we're taking a big jump this year as compared to last year.
So if you're listening at home and you're interested in going, first off, go down to the Legion of Valor, the Veterans Memorial Museum, home of the Legion of Valor in downtown Fresno. If you don't know where that is, you know where the water tower is. It's right across the street from the water tower in downtown Fresno. You've been to the Veterans Memorial Auditorium, probably. The museum is right inside, right past the foyer when you go up those big steps into the building. And it's free admission. It's open Monday through Saturday, 10 to 3. And we want to see you there on May 25th. If you can't make it, buy a ticket for a friend. We're going to take a short commercial break here. When we come back, we're going to talk to a man who volunteers his time every week at the Veterans Memorial Museum. He's heading to Hawaii next week, so we have to catch him before he gets his surfboard out. But you're going to hear from a young man who actually I have something in common with, and I'm very proud to share this in common with him. I'll tell you what that is, tell you what he did. He'll tell you what he did during World War II and in Korea and what he's been doing since, especially the last 8 years in downtown Fresno at the Veterans Memorial Museum. This is Hometown Heroes on News Talk 580 KMJ.
580 KMJ.
At Chukchansi Gold Resort and Casino, there's always something happening. Top-notch entertainment, award-winning restaurant, and so many ways to win. Grizzly Cash. Look for the Grizzly Cash slot machines, all tied together to make a big progressive payout exclusively at Chukchansi. There's a Grizzly Cash winner every 13 minutes. Jackpots must hit by $25,000. So look for the Grizzly and win.
With poodle skirts, leather jackets, and James Dean. It's the Fabulous 50s at Chukchansi. Celebrate the birth of rock and roll with Chukchansi's Fabulous 50s Hot Seat. 50 guests will win their share of $50,000 every Saturday in April by using their Players Club cards. Total giveaway, $200,000. Chukchansi's rockin' to have you rolling in the cash.
Oh, man, that is cool.
Chukchansi Gold Resort and Casino, number one for so many reasons. On Highway 41, just north of Fresno. Must be 21 or older to game. Call 1-866-7-WIN-WIN for details.
Okay, Fresno homeowners, you've got to hear this. The government just created an unheard-of opportunity for you to reset your mortgage and radically reduce your monthly payments. The Fed has finally gone to bat for the homeowner by aggressively boosting lending limits and slashing interest rates. I'm Hayes Barnard, owner of Paramount Equity, and this historic moment offers you a brand new chance to lock in a 30-year mortgage as low as 5.5% with an APR of 5.6. The fact is, we're one of the only mortgage banks in the country that can truly deliver these rates. We'll back it up with our guarantee to beat any written rate and fee structure. Bottom line, if you're paying more than 5.5% on your mortgage, it's time to hit that reset button, and we'll quickly lock in your rate of a lifetime. So make one simple 5-minute call to 456-6000 right now, and I'll pay for your home to be appraised. Paramount Equity is committed to saving our neighbors money. Call 559-456-6000.
Licensed by the Department of Corporation.
The Shields family is a real California family, providing real hope for others.
In 2005, our dreams of owning a home had become a reality, but recently turned into a nightmare. Our loan had an adjustable rate.
We took action to keep our home.
If the interest rate on your home has gone up and you can't afford the payments, act now. You might qualify for help.
If it worked for our family, it might work for yours.
Call 888-995-HOPE or visit yourhome.ca.gov to learn more. This message is brought to you by the State of California, aired by the California Broadcasters.
The Junior League of Fresno would like to invite you to the 27th Annual Senior Girl Athlete Awards Banquet. It's coming up Monday, April 21st at World Sports Cafe. This unique event features female athletes from 18 local high schools. Each girl will be honored for her outstanding performance in both sports and academics. The keynote speaker this year is three-time world champion boxer Jennifer Alcorn. Don't miss this exciting and inspiring evening. For information or tickets, call the Junior League office at 228-3600.
On the front-
front line of freedom. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler on News Talk 580 KMJ.
My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the
limb. You'll probably hear a little bit of the Battle Hymn of the Republic on May 25th in downtown Fresno. You might even hear those gleaming baritone pipes of Carl Granata from the Sounds of Freedom Band, part of the Association of the U.S. Army's local band. Used to be called the 509 Band. You might remember them as that. And maybe you saw their concert earlier today in Clovis, but you'll see them again May 25th at 3 o'clock in downtown Fresno. That's the second annual Heroes of the Valley fundraiser. You're going to be hearing a whole lot about that on KMJ between now and then. Inga Barks will be the MC that night, so go on out and see Inga on May 25th, and hopefully you'll hear her talking about it between now and then also. We're talking about it a month ahead of time because we'd love to see it sell out and do a great job of raising money for the Veterans Memorial Museum. Maybe even sell out so much we have to have two shows on May the 25th. Again, heroesofthevalley.com if you want to find out more information. 323-9226 in the 559 area code if you want to order your tickets today for you or for a friend. And now let's talk to a gentleman who has given a lot to the Veterans Memorial Museum in downtown Fresno, home of the Legion of Valor. He's been a docent there since 2000. And he and I have something in common, which I didn't know. And I have known Forrest Coleman, at least running into him at the museum, for probably 3 years. And it wasn't until I looked at the museum's website and read his bio that I realized he and I are both proud graduates of that fine institution known as Los Banos High School. Howdy, Tiger.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Class of 1942, is that right?
43.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm class of 94, so you got me by a few. So you were in high school in Los Banos when Pearl Harbor happened. What do you remember about that?
It was Sunday, of course, and my family was home as usual on Sunday, and we're listening to the radio, and all at once we started getting radio reports about Japanese had bombed Pearl Harbor. And it was quite a shocker to us. We didn't really realize at first just, you know, how much of an impact that that was. It was something so totally different and unexpected. And so I remember I climbed on my bicycle and ran around the neighborhood where my friends were and informed them, listened to the radio, that the Japanese had bombed Pearl Harbor and that a war was going to be on. And then I believe it was the next day then that President Roosevelt with Congress declared war on Japan.
On December 8th, that's when he made his famous speech about the day which will live in infamy.
A lot of people and a lot of the guys started volunteering for the military right away. And as soon as I was old enough, why then that's what I did.
Did you contemplate maybe trying to get into the Army Air Corps or the Navy or the Coast Guard? Why did you end up
in
the Army?
I came from a family of Army people, and my father was in Army infantry, and I listened to his war stories and had become fascinated as a youngster growing up. And so I thought, well, that's what I need to do. And so that's what I expected to be when I joined the Army, and that's where I wound up.
And you didn't just serve in World War II in the Pacific. You were then in the occupation army in Europe afterwards.
That's right.
And then where you saw some of your most intense action was actually in Korea after that.
That's right.
You couldn't get enough, huh?
A double dipper. Yes, I was in Europe for 3 years and then Army of Occupation, which was interesting duty. When I returned back to the United States from there, well, then I was signed up to Fort Lewis, Washington with the 2nd Infantry Division, regular Army Division, very, very fine division. And in late June, we were in a mess hall eating lunch and we began hearing reports, radio reports, about the North Koreans attacking South Korea. And that a war was imminent there. And it was no time after that, we received word that our division was alerted for a movement to the Far East, which we knew that meant Korea. And we started packing up right away. It took maybe a couple of weeks to get everything packed up. We had a lot of, course, a division, 15,000 men,
mm-hmm.
All kinds of equipment and vehicles that had to be readied and troops prepared and to get ready to ship out. And in about 2 weeks, my regiment, which is 9th Infantry Regiment, was the first regiment out of our division, sailed out of Tacoma, bound for Korea.
Now, I want to backtrack a little bit, and I don't want to bounce around too much. We're going to talk to Forrest about what he does at the museum and what he gets out of volunteering there, and also how much he learns by being at the museum and seeing all the exhibits and talking to the other veterans who are down there. And this is Forrest Coleman, our guest today, a World War II and Korea veteran. As he sits here with us in the studio, he has his Legion of Valor Museum cap, Veterans Memorial Museum, home of the Legion of Valor. On that cap, there's a Bronze Star, a Purple Heart. And you also have oak leaf clusters with those. And people that don't know what that means, if you have the Bronze Star with an oak leaf cluster, that means you were cited for a Bronze Star worthy action
twice.
And with the Purple Heart, three times. So
That's
you were
right.
wounded three times. And
That's
we're
right.
going to get the story behind all the times that he was wounded. But and before we get to what you do at the museum and all that, I want to ask you, when you shipped out to the Pacific and you saw battle in New Guinea, you saw battle in the Philippines, did you think you were coming home? Did you think you were going to get through all of that?
Yes, I know some guys got a little stressed out about that they wouldn't make it home. I really always was confident that I would survive. And I felt that we were well trained, we were well armed, we knew our jobs, and I just was young enough, if I can put it that way, that I was confident that I'm going to make it through there.
Even when you see your buddies going down left
That's
and right.
right? I know. We lost a lot. Yeah, a lot. That's right.
What would you say was your closest call in the Pacific during World War II?
A shell. It was at nighttime. We were in formation, preparing for an attack on the Japanese forces the next morning, and we were standing kind of in a half circle, and company commander was briefing us, and a artillery shell suddenly flew in, went off, and shrapnel flew across my back. I was from sideways, came across my back. I had an entrenching shovel tied on my pack. It ripped the steel off of the blade of the shovel. I had my canteen full of water on my belt. It hit my canteen, and water was leaking out of the canteen down my leg. And being in the tropics, the water was warm out of my canteen. And I thought, that's blood. I've been wounded. But I got to think I didn't. It's not feeling bad. It must not be it. So I took my belt off, and that was it. Shrapnel through my canteen and ripped the steel off my shovel tied on my back. And just a matter of 1 or 2 inches over, and it would have hit me in the neck or down below, just maybe a half inch more, and it would come clear across through my insides.
So the next day when you got up, you made sure to hang the shovel and the canteen in those exact same spots, right?
They issued me a new shovel and a new canteen.
Kind of hard to drink out of a leaky
one.
That
was all I got out of that.
Did you think about keeping the canteen with the hole in it?
Well, I wasn't able to carry everything that I would have liked to carry, but I had some items in my pack that also got bits of shrapnel in it and left holes in it, and I did manage to take those back home with me.
When you got done taking stock and you realized it wasn't blood, but it was water from your canteen, did you pause for a moment and think, maybe somebody's looking out for me here?
Yes, I did, and that's what the guys told me. They said, God's looking out for you tonight. And we did have a number of that artillery shell hit real close to the company commander, killed him, and it wounded a whole bunch of guys that were standing in a half circle. And I was just one of the fortunate ones.
Well, and you would need God looking out for you a few more times by the time you left the service.
Right.
And we're going to talk about that when we get done with this commercial break. Just one question before we get to that. You ever set off metal detectors?
Yes.
All right. We're going to find out why when we come back. Forrest Coleman, our guest, will talk more about the Heroes of the Valley fundraiser when Hometown Heroes continues on News Talk 580 KMJ.
580 KMJ.
And now for the bonus round. Three guys walk into a restaurant. Who brought the monkey?
Guy number two.
Correct. When it's not daylight savings, what is being spent?
Yen.
Correct. How many movies has Netflix delivered so far?
Over 1 billion.
Correct. Netflix. Over 1 billion movies delivered so far. Zero late fees. Choose movies online and get DVDs delivered to your door in about one business day. Start your free trial. Plans now from only $4.99 a month. Netflix. It's that easy.
At home, they were MIT students, but in Vegas, they ran the tables. See 21 the movie and discover how a group of kids became Vegas high rollers. Then head to Orbitz.com/21 and enter for a chance to win the 21 trips and 21 day sweepstakes. We're giving away 21 free trips to Vegas, including first class airfare, hotel suite, shopping spree, and more. So head to Orbitz.com/21 now for your chance to win. 21 ends March 28th. No purchase necessary. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 and older. Void where prohibited. For details and official rules, see Orbitz.com/21.
Look. In the sky. It's a bird. No, it's a plane. No, it's Captain Caregiver. His mission? Ensuring the sick and injured are comfortable and well cared for.
Maybe no one says so, but taking care of a friend or family member does make you a superhero. Luckily, you can get everything you need, from prescriptions to scooters and oxygen, at Ray Fisher Pharmacy. And if you're feeling unsure and overwhelmed, that's okay. Just stop by. The staff at Ray Fisher Pharmacy can help you find exactly what you need to help your loved one. Visit their website at rayfisher.com.
News Talk 580 KMJ and Life Source Water Systems present Sean Hannity with special guest Mark Levin. Friday, May 2nd at Warner's Theater.
Get your tickets now online at warners.org, the Warner's box office, the Bone Store on East Shaw in Fresno and West Cypress in Visalia, and the Comfort Store on Northwest in Fresno.
Tickets start at just $35. We're Hannitizing the vote. Sean Hannity, May 2nd on News Talk 580 KMJ. Now, more Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler on News Talk 580 KMJ.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes each and every Sunday on News Talk 580 KMJ and 580.com on the internet. You can listen live on your computer. You can also get the podcast after the fact. If you missed part of this program, you want to listen to it tomorrow, go to KMJ580.com and click on KMJ Podcast and find where it says Hometown Heroes. We are happy to have Forrest Coleman with us today, a veteran of both World War II and the Korean conflict, and a longtime volunteer at the Veterans Memorial Museum in downtown Fresno, home of the Legion of Valor. We've been talking about the Heroes of the Valley fundraiser, and again, to find out more information about that, go to heroesofthevalley.com. In a little while, we'll talk more about what exactly you can do on that website, all the different options that are out there for you. And most importantly, get your tickets soon so we can figure out if it's sold out, and we can have a second show on the same day, May 25th in downtown Fresno. We'll get things going at 3 o'clock. There's great music, tri-tip, and our own Inga Barks is going to be there to MC, not to mention all of our Heroes of the Valley who will be honored there that day as we support what's really a valley treasure, the Veterans Memorial Museum in downtown Fresno. Forrest Coleman knows all about that, but Forrest, before we talk about what you do at the museum, let's talk briefly about that Bronze Star, two of them that you earned in World War II. How did you first find out that you were going to get what is a really prestigious medal and one that I'm sure you were familiar with?
Well, it was a surprise to me. Actually, we were packing up to move out to another location in New Guinea, and the first sergeant called me and said they wanted to see me at the regimental headquarters, and so I headed out for a regimental headquarters, and there was a gathering there of officers and other men, and they called me over, and they had several of us in line, in a rank, and they started reading citations and awarding medals, and I was awarded a Bronze Star, and that was the first inkling at all that I had any idea that they were going to award a Bronze Star to me. I just didn't know ahead of time anything about it.
So it was a pretty good surprise.
It was a good surprise.
And it's never a good surprise when you find out that you deserve a Purple Heart, because that means that you've been wounded. That happened to you three times, all three in Korea, is that right?
That's right, all three in Korea. Korea was a bad war, really. I mean, all wars are bad, but for those having to fight the war on the ground, Korea was unusually bad.
And I asked you before if you ever set up metal detectors, and you said you do set off metal detectors sometimes when you walk through those. Tell our listeners why that's the case.
My third wound, which caused me to be evacuated from Korea. I guess I need to tell you the story this way.
I know it was November 26, 1950.
Right. The Chinese had slipped into North Korea undetected in great strength. 250,000 of them had slipped into Korea, and they were ordered. We found out later, Chinese troops were ordered during daytime not to move. If they moved in any way, shape, or form, they would be shot. They moved at nighttime in secret. So they had come down on us and hit us before we were aware that that they were there. At any rate, they made a night attack on us, and we were on a hill dug in, and they had come on us with such great strength that we were ordered to pull out and withdraw to the rear. And we moved out under cover. We had tanks with us, and we were taking cover alongside the tanks because we were under fire. And one of our tanks up in front had been hit and was on fire, and the whole area was lit up. And we were moving out as fast as we could, and my right foot fell into a hole of some sort. This was in the middle of the night, and I fell, and it stunned me a little bit, and my men thought that I was finished, and they kept on going. I came to, and I knew the terrain very well, and I knew where they had to go, and I figured, I got to get up, catch up with them, I'll cut across country and intercept them. And I started out, and lo and behold, I ran into a Chinese machine gun nest, probably 40, 50 feet away. Oof. And they were intent on our men coming out. They could see them coming out by the light of that tank. I could see them. They could not see me because I had them silhouetted against the light. And I got down on my stomach and watching them. I'm trying to figure out, what am I going to do now? I'm all alone here. And before I could make up my mind to do anything, I had apparently moved a little bit, and they heard me, and they opened up on me with a machine gun. Bullets were flying all around. It hit my rifle, shattered my rifle, and hit my right hand at the same time, and messed it up. And I thought, well, man, I'm in trouble now. And my rifle is ruined. I had a .45 on a shoulder holster. I took it out, and I managed to get it cocked, and they heard that. And I watched the Chinese machine gun squad leader tap a soldier on the shoulder, and he pointed right at my direction. Mm-hmm. And this soldier got his rifle, and he moved up in front of me about 30 feet away. But I'm sure he figured, I don't know what's out there, so I'm going to be careful. So he didn't come any closer. But he emptied his rifle in my direction. The bullets flew all around me, missed me completely. I said, it's time for me to leave. I'm going to go back the way I
I guess
came.
So.
I crawled for a ways and on my knees, and I figured, I'm safe to get up where I can move faster. As soon as I got up, they heard me. They opened up again. They hit me on the left leg, and I just did a somersault. I landed in a drainage ditch. This was a rice paddy. And I crawled down the drainage ditch, and I figured, I've got concealment here. I can make it. And then I started moving faster, and I got up and managed to limp my way out of there and headed toward the burning tank where my men, the column of men, was still going out. I got up close to them, and they saw me, and they thought that I was probably a Chinese soldier, and they got ready to shoot, and I hollered at them. And one of them said, "Hey, that's Coleman." And they went out, they come out and got a hold of me, pulled me back toward the column, and I was getting real weak from loss of blood, and they put me up on the tank. And they started moving again, and then the Chinese opened up on the tank, and the bullets were ricocheting off the tank, and I hollered at them. I said, "Hey, you got to get me off of this." And so the crewmen opened up the hatch. They took me and they just dumped me head first down inside the tank, and that's the way I got out. They took me out to there was an aid station about a quarter of a mile away where the wounded were coming in. And I was there for just a short period of time, and they put me on an ambulance, and they took me back to a Hasty airstrip, which was maybe 20 minutes away. We had C-47s were flying in. They taxi, just a hastily made dirt airstrip. They would taxi up, leave the engines running. They'd load up the wounded on the airplane and take off. And needless to say, then they I got aboard. They loaded me aboard, and we flew back to Pyongyang, the North Korean capital, where we had a MASH hospital there. And I was treated there. And then I was in bad enough shape, they evacuated me to Japan, to Osaka General Hospital from there. And I was there for 5 or 6 days undergoing surgery and treatment. And they told me, "You're going home." And so I flew from Japan on to Hawaii, was there for about 3 days, and on to San Francisco Letterman Army Hospital, where I remained for 4 or 5 months.
And to this day, in your index finger.
Okay. That
we're running
that
out
bullet,
of time.
When
that's
it shattered my rifle, the bullets, it left a bullet in my that was spent, obviously, after tearing up my rifle, and it's still in my finger today. And so it does at times set off things in the airport when I go through.
Yep. Well, Forrest, I'm going to come back over to Mike and Glenn here quickly. While I do that, I want you to think about your favorite thing in the museum, and hopefully we'll have time to come back to you for that. Mike and Glenn, before we run out of time here, anything else about the Heroes of the Valley fundraiser, heroesofthevalley.com, that you want our listeners to know?
Wow. I just want to let people know, first of all, visit the website, heroesofthevalley.com. Several options for you there. One is, if you can't attend, just make a donation. You can just send money electronically from the website. It's secure. Buy tickets, or we add in an option this year that you can buy tickets for a veteran. So if you can't attend but you'd really like to make sure that a local veteran can attend, you can do that as well. And then there are links to the museum as well. If you want to take a virtual tour of the museum, you can see that from the website.
I just want to add again, we could just really use your support and your help. If we don't get involved with this 16-year-old Fresno treasure, we may see it pass away in our time. We don't want that to happen.
We can't afford for that to happen. Unfortunately, right now we're out of time. So go to heroesofthevalley.com, come back with us next week, and buy your tickets now. And if you want to hear more of Forrest's stories, go to the museum on Tuesdays. That's when he's there as a docent. Thanks so much for listening to Hometown Heroes today on News Talk 580 KMJ.
Tell us about your hometown hero. Email your story by clicking on the Hometown Heroes link at KMJ580.com.
She's a 9-time Grammy Award winner, a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and has been called the Queen of Slide Guitar. And now, Bonnie Raitt is bringing her scorching blend of blues and rock to the Table Mountain Casino Event Center, Thursday, May 22nd. It's No Lie, Bonnie Raitt, live at Table Mountain Casino. This is the show everyone will be talking about. You know you're gonna love her.
Bonnie Raitt, one night only. Thursday, May 22nd, 8 p.m. at Table Mountain Casino. Are you ready for the Get ready, because Bonnie Raitt's coming. Get your ticket to the main casino cage or online at tmcasino.com.
The Fresno chapter of the Barbershop Harmony Society would like to invite you to the 50th anniversary show of the Gold Note Chorus. It's happening Saturday, April 26th, with the show starting at 2 p.m. at the Roosevelt High School Theater. Tickets are just $15 for general admission and $10 for children and students. To find out more, call 225-SING. That's 225-7464.
On air, online, on demand
at KMJ580.com.
This is The Big One. News Talk 580, KMJ, Fresno.
News on the hour.